Well, tonight I want to talk to you about those who win in the end. And this is just a simple message tonight from Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. You can see it there under the horse. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, we've heard that, most of us, hundreds of times throughout our lifetime. Jesus taught this. This is part of his teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, what's called the Beatitudes. You know, blessed are you, and so forth. And here, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And when I read this recently, I connected it in a way that I had never connected it before. And you might be shocked to know this, but I went back to the first two chapters in Genesis. And think about it. Adam and Eve, in perfection, God had charged them as the keepers of the earth. It was, if you will, their inheritance. They were God's under-regents in the realm of earth. They were perfect. They were perfectly obedient to the Father until we get to chapter 3. And so then Jesus comes along as the last Adam, if you will. He came to restore what the first Adam had lost through sin in the garden. Adam and Eve fell to sin, deception by the enemy, and the curse came upon all mankind. And at that time, then there was an authority shift where the enemy was unleashed in a way that he was not before. He was present in Eden before that, but he was authorized by who God left in charge of the earth. He was allowed to seize that authority and then begin to wreak havoc in the earth. So Jesus came to restore. And Jesus even referred to himself in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, where he says, "Come unto me, all you that labor, heavy laden, and so forth, and learn from me. I am what? Meek and lowly." So Jesus considered himself as being one who is meek. And if you look at this scripture, Jesus said the meek are blessed. Why? Because it will be the meek who will inherit the earth. In other words, when everything's put back right, there will be a new heaven, a new earth. There'll be a kingdom on earth. And it'll be we know the nations are the inheritance of the Son, Psalm chapter 2, of the Son of God. But the meek have an inheritance in the earth. In other words, there's going to be restoration so that we once again will inhabit the earth, and the earth will be overseen in the way that God originally intended it to be overseen. And Jesus, it's interesting to me, of all the different qualifiers or adjectives that could be used to describe the people who, when the dust settles and everything's restored, would be the ones who would inherit it. It's interesting that he chose it would be the meek. So whatever that means, it's important. Because the meek will inherit the earth. And this word meek is the Greek word pros. And it means more than, we tend to think of a meek person with this kind of image. Timid, shy, meek. The word's different than that. It does have the idea of gentleness, quietness, humility, but also strength. And I will want to go through these. If you look up this word, it does carry the idea of that person who's humble. Now, we're going to do some connecting the dots here. The meek person is first of all, an humble person as well. And true biblical humility, to me, means that we know who we are without Christ, and we know who we are in Christ. There's a false humility that's like, well, I'm no good. I'll never amount to anything. God, you know, I would never be. That's a false humility. True biblical humility is aware that without Christ, we can do nothing. But that same person is aware that We can do all things through Christ, who is our strength. So knowing our identity, we know it's not of our own resources. It's not who we are. It's who we are in Him. And so humility is part of that. And the Bible teaches us that God gives grace to the humble. In order to live a powerful Christian life, we have to have grace. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 teaches us that grace is the desire and the power to do the will of God. Paul said, I labored more abundantly than all of you, yet not I, but God's grace given me. In other words, Paul recognized that what he was able to do, it was because he had been given grace. Grace is the power to do God's will. It, not only that, it moves upon our desires so that we come into alignment with His will, and then we're enabled to do His will. You and I lack the sufficiency to live a godly life apart from God. You and I lack the sufficiency to live a Christian or Christ-honoring life apart from Christ. So that's the key. Being humble recognizes that. And so humility is part of meekness. And also gentleness. Gentleness is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. It was prophesied of the Messiah when He came, and it was Jesus who did come, but it was prophesied of Him that when He came, a smoking flax He would not quench, and a bruised reed He would not break. Well, those are odd describers. But think of a smoking flax. Just think of a candle that's burned down really low. It's just got a little flickering flame. And how easily you could just go and put it out. But Jesus was described as a smoking flax He would not quench. Or a bruised reed. You've seen a plant in the house where one of the succulent stems gets bruised. And it's so easy to break. A bruised reed He will not break. That's how gentle He was. And yet He's the most powerful man that ever left a footprint on this planet. So don't confuse meekness with weakness. Because it involves humility and gentleness, but also patience. Patience. I'm so moved by how patient Jesus was. His disciples, think about this. How much Jesus knew that He could have told His disciples that He did not tell them. Why? Because He was patient with them. And He is with us as well. The Bible tells us there were times when Jesus said, I have many things I would like to share with you, but you are not yet able. In other words, they were not at a place in their walk where they could receive what He said. And so from His perspective, I'm not going to share that with you now, because this is going to fall on deaf ears. You're not going to get it. It's not going to help you. But when you're ready, then we get downloads. You know what that tells me? That if I'm meek, if I'm humble, if I'm gentle, and I'm patient like Jesus, then that'll put my heart in position where the Lord will download revelation to me. He said, I'd share a lot with you, but you're not yet able. That means there are things that we can receive when we grow and get to the point we can receive them. Have you ever had a friend that you would like to tell them something you think would really help them, but you knew it wouldn't do any good to tell them because it would just fall on deaf ears, or they couldn't see it, or they may get mad at you? But then, as you're patient, there will come a time when the door opens and you can honestly share your heart. And that's how Jesus operated. Not only patience, but another very important thing is teachability. Probably on the list of things that we need in the Christian life, you know, apart from purity and holiness, is a teachable spirit. And all of these are cousins, the humility, the gentleness, the patience, the teachability. All of these cluster together. They're kind of different nuances of the same thing. The teachability, the ability to be taught, a desire to learn, a desire to grow. You know, it could be easy to say, well, I've been saved 40 years, so, you know, I'm going to hang it up. You know, I think I can coast. No. You know, learning is one of the, what a gift it is. I love to learn new things. I think we should always be endeavored to explore and ascertain new knowledge that will be helpful to us. And the Scriptures cannot be exhausted. You can spend your lifetime and 1,000 more, if granted that, and never exhaust the depths of the Word of God, because it's alive and it's powerful. And it's amazing how one word can be given to 500 people and 300 people can get a different message out of it that hits them right where they are. That's the work of the Spirit of God and the Scriptures coming together to transform us to be more like Jesus. The meek shall inherit the earth. So the last thing here under meekness is, this is really important, that meekness does not mean weakness. It really means that you have power, you have strength, but it's restrained. It's under control. You're not a bull in the china closet. You're not unbridled and wild with your power. But there's a steadiness. There's a depth. There's a restraint on using your power only in the way that God would want it to be used. One area, an example, would be like in our children, correcting our children. We all know what it's like for a child to really make you maybe angry sometimes. And some parents can allow the anger they feel to be expressed through the speed with which they swing their paddle. And you can miss the mark, right? But you have to restrain yourself and apply the Board of Education in appropriate means. Now, I put the picture of the horse on this slide tonight because, to me, that's one of the most beautiful examples of meekness. A horse is a very powerful animal. But yet, a meek horse, one that's trained, that power, the energy that horse has is only used at the instruction of its master. Now, when I was early on, it's probably third or fourth grade, and my sister was four and a half years ahead of me, Dad came home one day and he had a stallion for my sister and a Shetland pony for me. And let me tell you, neither one of them were meek. Because my sister would, Dad would try to get her on there, and as soon as she got on there, it would rear up on its rear legs and throw her off. And when he put me on that, he put that saddle on that little Shetland pony and hit my little frame up there on that pony, I couldn't get it to go anywhere, but it would do this every time. It would simply lay down and begin to roll, try to get me off its back. Those two horses was everything but me. So after about 2 weeks, Daddy decided it wasn't a very wise decision to go in the horse business. So adios to the two horses. But a meek horse, that power is restrained. It's used only in the way that its master will allow it to be used. And that's the capabilities that we have to be under the tutelage of the Holy Spirit, under our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me share some thoughts with you about this. And the first one is that a lesson that we can get from meekness is that we have to learn to let go of control. To be meek means you're under someone else's control. Now, we should be under the control of the Lord, submitted to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Paul even calls the Christian a bond slave. In other words, we volunteer to serve as a slave to our Lord, knowing He's a good master. But when we're not meek, then we have power struggles. We want to do our thing instead of the Lord's thing. We want to go our way instead of the Lord's way. I was thinking about this earlier. You know, when you're thinking about someone who is, say, going to lead a nation, our nation, a nation, any nation, and the President of the United States has access to the nuclear football, right? You know, that satchel they carry, and he's got all the codes in there in case there's a nuclear launch. But do you want somebody that's unbridled, or do you want somebody that can restrain themselves? It's like if you had a business, would you want someone to be the CEO of your business that was meek, that would utilize the power and strength they have in a way that benefits the business? Or would you want them to be obnoxious, belligerent, you know, couldn't control their anger? Would you want, say, the principal of a high school? Would you want somebody who's meek, that's restrained, could restrain the authority they've been given and use it in a way that benefits the students in the school? Or somebody that just wants to control everything to their own ends and their own way, to the neglect of the school? And so you just think of any position of leadership. It's important to learn to let go of control. And as believers, the one thing we have in common is that we're to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. So to be meek, it's the meek that's going to inherit the earth. Those who can lay everything at Jesus' feet and say, "Not my will, Lord, but yours be done." You know, that can really be at that place. You know, "Lord, if this is not what you want, hands off. I want what you want more than what I want." And I love, years ago, I heard a preacher on the radio talking about how we need to learn to say, like, "I will the will of God." You know, "I choose to choose what God chooses for me." And it's that kind of idea, making our walk with the Lord priority and learning to take our hands off, learning to let go of control. Second thing is, be sensitive to what the master desires. Very similar, but here, going back to the horse analogy, a meek horse, and Derek would know this better than, Pastor Derek would know this better than I do about the, you know, you can just twitch a horse that's real good, or do it with your knees, I guess. You can direct that horse very gently to where somebody observing couldn't even tell that you were given directions. But the horse is so sensitive to its master that it knows what the master wants. And that's how we're to be with the Holy Spirit, that we develop a sensitivity when the Holy Spirit's saying, "Yeah, this way. Yeah, peace. Yes, this is peace. Green light here. Nope. Red light. Not here." And develop that sensitivity. But if we're not meek, we won't be that way. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." The third thing is, choose to be gentle, not forceful. That's another negative aspect of our default way of living our lives as human beings, is that we'll just up the force necessary to get what we want. Now, you can get into witchcraft doing that, trying to manipulate and control other people through force. Choose to be gentle, not forceful. And again, Jesus was gentle. He was meek and lowly. Yet, he could cleanse the temple. But you know what? When he cleansed the temple, he wasn't some wild man. Because he did take whips and he drove the money changers out. But he said, "Move those doves." He didn't knock those over. He knew what he was doing. He was restrained. He dealt with what needed to be dealt with the severity that needed to be used. But yet he was aware of not knocking the doves over. In other words, he was controlled in what he was doing. And sometimes we can lose control. We can lose it. We can get angry or frustrated, and something that would have been all right in 5 minutes now won't be all right in 5 days, because we haven't handled it well. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And by the way, that's a pretty good piece of property, the earth. That's a pretty major piece of inheritance right there. Number four, being meek. Keep your focus on the kingdom. Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Notice that, shall inherit the earth. I believe that we can live the blessed life now in the sense that the Lord wants to bless us. He wants to lead us. He wants to use us. But not to the extent that some people that you watch on television is telling you. I would not feel comfortable getting up and bragging that I bought a $200 million jet the other day, and then a week after that, I bought one that cost twice as much as I heard one preacher doing. I'm sorry. I don't believe that. I think that would be a misappropriation. I mean, come on. Go to the mission field and look at the needs. God wants to bless us. And I believe that He wants to prosper us. But this calls us to realize our true inheritance is much more than finances. There's a lot of people that have more money than they could spend in 100 lifetimes, some of these billionaires, and they're miserable because they worked hard to get all of that, and then when they got it, they realized they still didn't have what they were really looking for. And they never will until they meet Jesus. So our true inheritance is about the kingdom. It's eternal. Yes, believe God for being the blessing now, but stay balanced. My goodness, there's a ditch on both sides of the road. You know? Stay out of those ditches. Keep your focus on the kingdom, on the eternal, on what Jesus has called us to do. It's so important. To keep that in our focus, in our crosshairs. And number five, cultivate a deep trust in God. That's part of being meek too. I can restrain and be sensitive to be controlled by the Holy Spirit because I know God can be trusted. News alert. God's smarter than we are. He knows more than you and I know. On our best day, when we're clicking all cylinders, and it's like we can do no wrong, we're getting it right, we're still so far away from who He is as a constant. And He always wants what's best for us. He'll always lead us in alignment with what He wills for us. It is God who works in us both to will and do according to His good pleasure. We don't exist for God to make us happy. And this is one of the areas that the American church in particular can really get off. Because we've gone overboard and we've created a consumerism in the church that the church exists to make people happy and to, for people to come and just consume and be entertained. I think we ought to enjoy coming together. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about there's not a competition to see who can offer people the most. We exist to proclaim Christ to the world because without Christ, people are going to die and spend an eternity in hell. And we have the antidote for that. We have the answer. And it's making Christ known. And to equip people to be able to live through the fiery times that come. Because if you have a consumer mentality, what am I going to get? What's in it for me? Instead of coming to what can I give? How can I help? Where can I serve? That's what we're called to. It is. So we have to cultivate a deep trust in God. If I do it God's way, that's going to be the very best way I can live my life. And my, there's so much warfare over that. Cultivate a deep trust in God. And lastly, realize the eternal nature of your inheritance. The meek shall inherit the earth. Now, people have different ideas about how it's all going to unwind at the end. But the Bible does tell us, I mentioned this earlier, Jesus said this kingdom, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all nations, and then the end shall come. The end of the age as we know it. The end of the age will be signaled by the second coming of Jesus Christ. And He is going to judge the nations. And I personally believe He's going to establish a kingdom. John says it will be for a period of 1,000 years on earth. And you know what it'll be? It'll be picturesque of Eden in the sense that the lion and the lamb will lay together. Now, that's not natural. I heard the story about this zoo, and they had a real unusual attraction. You could go, and in the same cage, they had a lion and a sheep. That's real unusual. And so they were asking the zookeeper, well, how does this work? I said, well, they're at peace with one another. I said, every now and then, they may have a fight. Well, what do you do when that happens? We get another sheep. It's not the nature of things for the lion and the lamb to lay together. But it was in the first two chapters of Genesis. And it will be at the end of the age when there will be a kingdom on the earth that will mirror that. And then ultimately there will be a new heaven and a new earth that will come. And so I'm just saying, realize the eternal nature of your inheritance. What you have right now is not all you're going to get. Now, if you're saved, that's awesome. But you haven't even gotten all that you're going to get by being saved. Because you're going to get a glorified, resurrected body at the return of Christ. You'll be translated if you're alive. If you've already died, then your spirit will come back with Jesus, and a new body will be raised from the dead, and your spirit will rejoin with that new glorified body, and you'll be caught up and forever be with the Lord. That's God's plan. That's God's way. Because in the beginning, He wanted Adam and Eve to, He gave them the dominion to rule and reign in the earth, and that went sideways, but it's being restored by Jesus. And ultimately, my belief is, as it was in the beginning, so shall it be at the end. Why? Because God's will prevail. God will have what He originally designed and intended. And even the book of Revelation mirrors the paradise of God, the tree of life, the river, and so forth. And a lot of sidebar issues there concerning animals and everything, I think, will be in the kingdom. It's really cool what God has planned, and you're going to like it. As believers, you're going to love it. So we have to realize the eternal nature of your inheritance. You know, I lost my dad in 1996. So that's been 28 years ago. But I'm going to get to see my daddy. I'm going to get to see him. And I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to get to see my grandma. Mickey's going to get to see her twin brother that she lost in 1998 in a car wreck. She's going to get to see her dad and mom. And you've got your loved ones that have gone on. That's the eternal nature of our inheritance. You know, the end result is not we're going to go off up in heaven somewhere out in the galaxies and live out there. No. Ultimately, we will be established on a renovated earth. The heavenly city will come down, and you're going to like it. The meek will inherit all this. And we do not tend, if we started writing down describers of what it takes to be in that number, how many times would we put meek? And yet, that's what Jesus taught. The blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meekness is not weakness. It is strength under control. It is humble. It is gentle. It is patient. It is teachable. And it is powerful. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, Take my yoke upon you. My burden's light. Come to me. I'm meek and lowly. He described himself as meek. So Lord, help us to be meek. I think in my 41 years, this is the first time I've preached this day solo message on being meek. But it's important. You know, it just struck me the other day when I read that. Oh, I see how this fits in with the restoration. The meek will inherit the earth. So let's be led by the Holy Spirit and use our power in Christ-honoring ways. And the way we do that is by being meek. Amen? Well, let's stand together. I'm going to ask our prayer team members to come up and be available. It could be that you're here tonight and you need someone to pray with you. You have a spiritual need. Then we invite you to come. They'll be here. People will be here to pray with you. We believe God hears and answers prayer. And let's all examine ourselves for a moment. If you had to score yourself on the level of meekness in your life, if you were to have a 5-star rating system, how many stars would you have on meekness? Or better still, if your family were to fill it out for you, how many stars would they color in? I'm just trying to give you something to aim at. Hey, if you've got 5 stars, you've got them all filled in, you know, you're shining bright, cool. I'd encourage you to write a book about meekness. It could be helpful to the rest of us. Oh, Lord, thank you. Meek and lowly Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. We bless you tonight. Lord, help us to grow in humility, gentleness, patience, teachability, and allow the strength that you give us through your Spirit to be expressed through those means. Lord, we would even ask tonight that we could manifest meekness as you did. You did it so very well, Jesus. Help us tonight. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, for the times that we've been prideful instead of humble. That we've been impatient rather than patient. That we've been harsh instead of gentle. That we've had that know-it-all attitude instead of being teachable. Cleanse me, O Lord. Cleanse us, O Lord. Help us to be a people led by the Spirit and who manifest your power and strength in beautiful, holy, Christ-honoring ways. And maybe you can take a moment right now and just search your heart. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you through this simple little message? It's so easy for us to become frustrated when things aren't going our way. Lord, help us to still be meek when those days come so that we can navigate those days in a way that will not be displeasing to you, but rather would exemplify you. We yield to you, Holy Spirit. Maybe that could be a prayer you could pray right now. I yield to you, Holy Spirit. Help me to be a meek person. We're going to begin to sing for a moment. If you have need of prayer, just come on up right now. Anyone have a need? Humble yourself and come.
about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
Are there others?
It's all about you.
He loves you so much. Remind you, ladies, that Mickey will be in the commons area for you to sign up. Would you lift up your hands before we go? Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Now go forth in Jesus' name and let your meekness show. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for being here tonight. Hope to see you all on Sunday morning. The altar remains open if you have need of prayer. Community Bible study in the morning at 10 a.m.